Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and good evening. Today is October 28th, 2021, and we are broadcasting live on the Healing Hour. I am your host, Elisha Cooper, with co-host Dr. William Christmas. Listen, in light of domestic violence awareness, we kind of wanted to flip the script on tonight and speak on the child's behalf. Many children are affected by domestic violence every day, seeing their parents or their, you know, their mom and dad or dad and their significant other going through fights and things like that. That is a hard thing for children to watch. And while a lot of times we advocate for the woman, not too many of us sit and talk and think about the idea of what the child is going through. So tonight our theme is I Survived Too, surviving after watching the abuse. Of course, you can feel free to tune in at www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom or listen via phone 319-527-6091. As always, if you have any questions or a comment at any time during the show, press 1. We're going to ask Dr. Christmas if he would mind reading our scripture for today.
All right. The scripture is going to be coming from Psalm 30. Starting at verse 1, and it reads, I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning.
Lord, we thank you, and we honor you, and we give you glory. God, we know that the topic that we're going to speak on tonight is a touchy topic. So, Lord, we ask that you would prepare our hearts and our minds, Lord God. Heal someone on tonight through the words given by our guest, God. Lord, we thank you so much for her being able to come on and to open up to us with the things that she has been healed from. God, we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. I am so excited tonight. We have the author of Faith Book, a devotional book, lady, as we call her, Phaedra Anderson. How are you, Phaedra?
Hey, sis. All is well. All is well.
Thank you for accepting our invitation to come on the Healing Hour. You have shared your testimony being a child in the midst of domestic abuse. Can you do something for me before we do anything? Can you share with us today just some of the things that God is doing with you in your life in this present moment?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show, and thank you for you being open and being bold enough to allow me to come on and just to have this topic, because it's not a topic that you often hear. So I just wanted to say thank you for that. Currently, I mentioned I am the author of Faith Book. I am also a entrepreneur at a woman clothing line where I have a woman's boutique, and I also have a customized t-shirt apparel company as well. And I also a volunteer at a pregnancy center where we actually assist women that are in crisis, they have a crisis pregnancy, and we also assist women with making a conscious and educated decision about not having an abortion and saving their child.
Wow. Okay. I like the sound
so
of
that's
that.
Where I, that's where I am
I,
now.
The name of her clothing boutique is Fashions with P-H, not F.
Yes.
Which I am a frequent shopper. Anyway, Phaedra, like we said, you know, many children are affected by domestic violence, domestic abuse every day. Can you tell us first, who was it that you you saw in this type of situation? And if you could give your younger self some comforting words, what would they be?
I actually saw my mother in the situation, starting back as young as, I want to say 9 years old, and I witnessed her go through domestic violence for about years, nonstop, ongoing. And if I could tell my younger self something, younger self has to do with domestic violence, would that be okay? It has nothing.
You went out. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. What I would say, my younger self would have nothing to do with this topic.
Okay. We'll come back to that then.
Okay, yeah.
We'll come back to that one. So you say you saw your mother for over 20 years deal with this situation?
Yes.
What, if you could help us out, what went through your head as a child, especially your younger years? You said you saw the abuse at 9 years old. What went through your head watching your mom go through that?
Well, even before I even saw it, I saw it. Even before my mother knew that he was an abuser, I knew that something wasn't right with the man. And when my mother first started dealing with him, when she first introduced us to him, I said, "Mom, I don't like him." He was a nice man. At that time, he didn't do anything. He was giving us money. He upgraded us in a sense, you know, as far as the way things were in the home, bringing in, you know, electronics and, you know, making sure we had name brand sneakers, you know, every 3 months versus, you know, every 6 months or whenever my mom was able to purchase them. But he came in and upgraded us. So there was nothing to the naked eye that you could see why I wouldn't like him. But I knew something wasn't right with him as soon as I met him. And I said, "Mom, I don't like him." He would give me money and everything. And I said, "Mom," she's like, "Well, he's in the..." I'm like, "Mom, I don't like him." And years later, I remember as an adult, my mom saying, "I should have listened to you. I should have listened to you." So he started beating her shortly after he met her. And what he would do first was he would beat her body so that you couldn't see the black eye, the black and blue marks. You know, he would body beat her so that you couldn't see that he was abusing her. And then eventually it became more aggressive. And then he, you know, then you started to see the black eyes, you know, the nose being broken and all of that kind of stuff. Seeing that as a child made me think that I couldn't understand why she was even in that situation, because my mother was a fighter and my mother wasn't scared of anybody. So to see her flip the script was like a shock, like, "This isn't mommy. Mommy fights everybody. Mommy doesn't, you know, take nothing from anybody. What happened here?" And it seemed like something happened where, though, he broke her spirit, not only with the domestic violence, but with the verbal violence, because her name was everything but her name. She was a B all day, every day. So I saw her spirit be broken. And then I just saw, you know, the constant abuse. And as a child, I just said that would never be me. that would never be me. But I couldn't understand why she couldn't leave, and I couldn't understand why didn't she love us enough to leave. That was the constant question, answer question, was why doesn't she love her children enough to leave this man that she really didn't need, because she didn't need him financially. My mom had a good job. You know, she was financially stable. She worked for the city. She was a homeowner. You know, we were living well without him. So I didn't understand why did she have this man in her home that she really didn't need for anything.
Mm.
Hello?
We're listening.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm.
As you got older, like your teenage years, did you ever, like, try to fight your mother's attacker or anything of that nature, or did you remain in the background, if that makes sense?
I never tried to fight him, but I spoke up for her because my mother was so scared of this man that she became very mute. And I would be the one that would step in and say what she wouldn't say. I would be the one to step in at 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 to express myself verbally and to give him a piece of my mind because she was too scared to do it. I never tried to attack him physically, but I do remember at around 16, I literally started to devise a plan on how to get this man out of my home. I thought about poisoning him. I even thought about accusing him of rape, accusing him of molesting me or touching me, because that's how bad I wanted to get this man out of my home. And my mother just didn't have any kind of fight in her whatsoever. I never went along with the plan, but I definitely had the thoughts of accusing him of raping me, knowing that the man had never even attempted. He never physically, he never did anything to me. He never tried to. He never tried to harm me, hurt me, or anything. But I was just trying to think of any way to get this man out of our house. How do I get this man out of my life? How do I get this man away from my mother? So I was literally contemplating accusing him of rape, because that's how desperate I wanted to help my mother get out of this situation.
So you was,
and women have to be careful, because you have little girls that have done that and have lied on it. And some men are sitting in jail right now for something that they did not do. But that was the only thing that that child could think of to help. And that's scary. But I understand it.
Mm.
Wow.
Just a good evening, by the way, this Dr. Christmas. And so the question I have, just as you begin to think about these things, what do you think was or what is like the cause of domestic violence? I want to, there might be somebody tonight that may not be aware of the cause, and want to get your thoughts around that.
From what I've experienced from my mother and looking at it, you know, now as a grown woman, my mother was broken. My mother was broken in so many areas. She had lived such a traumatic life that she just didn't have any fight in her. By the time this man came along, she had experienced like some really traumatic things in her life that she never got help for. So when this man came in, she just had no fight, and it was just trauma, molestation, you know, just trauma and brokenness, low self-esteem. Actually, by that point, my mother had no self-esteem, and she was just a broken woman in every capacity that you could think of. There was no presence of God in her life. And like I said, it was just trauma. The trauma and the molestation as a child, no help for that. You know, just she had a lot of tragedy in her life before this man even came. So by the time he came in, she was already on her last straw. But was still seeking attention and still wanting to be loved as a woman, that she couldn't even identify what love really was, because she had never been in a healthy relationship before, prior to.
That is so true.
So it was almost like, you know, safe to say that, you know, she was immune to it?
It was the trauma had became her norm. Trauma and drama was her norm. So anything outside of that, she really wasn't able to adapt to peace.
That is good right there. Can you expound on that part right there, that adapt to peace, her not being able to adapt to peace?
She had lived years of arguing, fighting, you know, in that type of toxic relationships, you know, being with women, toxic. Not only did I experience it from a man and a woman, domestic abuse, but I also saw domestic abuse with a woman and a woman, you know, which was even more toxic. So just living in all of those, she had all of those different things going on, and none of it was healthy, that she didn't even know how to respond to anything peaceful. If it wasn't, you know, it was like, and she was a peaceful woman. She was a calm, sweet, nice woman, but for some reason, she clung to the opposite. And unfortunately, as children, we were dragged along in whatever she clung to and just had to adapt to the trauma. So the trauma became my norm as well. As far as seeing it, this was normal for me, whereas if somebody else was like, you know, somebody else was like, oh, that's a toxic, you know, it's a lot going on over there. And I'm like, huh, it's normal for me, fussing, cussing, fighting, you know, cuts. But it was because she was so broken and she needed help. She needed help desperately. But she never got it. She never got the help that she needed for whatever reason. So we had to suffer through it. And although, you know, people would, you know, the cops would come and it would, you know, we would go to our grandmothers and everything a lot, but it was always to help her. You know, people would try to reach out to help her, you know, to help her. But I never remember anyone ever asking us or asking me, how did I feel about the situation? How did I feel being raised up in this lifestyle? How did I feel seeing my mother with black eyes, with broken noses? How did I feel seeing my mother get stabbed up? There was nobody asked how did I feel about what I was seeing. It was always to help her. But there was, in this day and age, there is more help and concern. Well, not more, but just as much help and concern for the children as it is for the woman.
So the question I have is that seeing all of this as you were younger, two things. One is, how did it affect your schooling, your academics, or did it have an effect? And two is, your social life, you know, in regards to just having friends and everything. Could you talk about that?
Well, growing up, I was very violent in my teens, very mm-hmm. aggressive, used to fight a lot, wasn't a troublemaker, but it didn't take much. Very revengeful. If you started something, I definitely would be the one to finish it. That was in my teenage years. As far as academically, it didn't affect me at all because I saw so much growing up at home. School was the only place that I could escape, and there was peace. So when I was at school, I would be zoned out. When I would be doing my homework, I was a straight-A student, didn't affect me academically at all. I would just be zoned out into my schoolwork because this place, I could be a little girl, and there's no fussing, no cussing, no fighting at school. So I was happy to go to school. It was an outlet. Mm-hmm. And as far as relationships, do you mean as far as, like, what, with men or?
Well, I was going to go ahead and go there. I didn't want to jump to here. I was going to go
no,
there.
No, it's fine. But what were you saying as far as, what did you mean as far as relationships?
Well, meaning this is the relationship with just friends, you know, just being a typical teenager, adolescent. I want to know, you know, did you have a best friend? Somebody that you could talk to, or maybe you didn't talk to, or, you know.
Being a teenager, I had a lot of friends. I was the popular girl. didn't have a problem with making friends. I didn't have a problem with friends. However, because I saw my mother be abused so much, I didn't keep friends. Because the first time you hurt me, I cut you out of my life. Because nobody was going to treat me the way that I saw my mother be abused.
Right.
And these are even with girlfriends. You know, whenever I would see anything that looks like abuse, violence, hurt, pain, oh, nope, you can't be in my life. Mm-mm.
In
mm-hmm.
your relationships, after seeing that, and when you finally got into a relationship, did you find yourself being abusive towards the person you were with?
No. I didn't pick up any of those characteristics or those traits. I wanted the complete opposite for my life. Yeah, I remember one of my girlfriends. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
I just remember one of my mom's girlfriends saying to me, she told me this maybe about 10 years ago. She said, I remember when you, she said, you were a little girl and, you know, your mom and they were fighting. And you said, I'm not going to grow up to be like them. I'm not going to be like them in my life. And I didn't. I wanted the complete opposite for my life. There was just too much drama. And I'm like, when I grow up, it's going to be peaceful. I'm not going to have this in my life.
I want to backtrack and then come back to where we are. Something you said to me, said earlier to us, really stood out, and that was, why didn't she love us enough to leave?
Mm-hmm.
As a survivor myself, and having children during the time that I was in an abusive relationship, that legit like almost made me cry. Because you never think that you're not loving your children when you don't leave, especially when, like in my case, it was like every time I threatened, I said I was leaving, my children could have been a possible collateral damage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ch- child being snatched out the house or locking all the doors and the windows and blowing out the pilot lights and things like that. So in my mind, staying was loving my kids because they wouldn't die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so...
But you would interpret that, you know, but a child wouldn't, you know, be able to interpret it like that.
Correct, and that's why I said what I was saying. It pricked me because I know me and you had talked before, and I was saying to you that I remember one time when my abuser was hitting me, and I remember my two-year-old who was knee-high to a duck running over and punching the person in their leg, and it literally, like, broke my heart.
Mm-hmm. And it's only normal.
I didn't leave it, but I didn't leave at the time because, from me, I didn't have no strength. With you hearing what I'm saying right now, like, to me, as a mom, I was looking at it as I didn't leave because I didn't want my kids to die, and that was my way of saying, I know this situation looks bad, but I really do love y'all. From the child to another mom who is in that situation, what advice or encouragement to leave would you give them?
I would just encourage them, from a child's perspective, especially as I grew up as a teenager, from my perspective, it looked like pure selfishness on the part of my mother. So I would just encourage that mother to put herself in that child's shoes so that she can try to understand it from the child's point of view and look at it from that child's lens. And maybe that may give her the strength to leave. And not so much look at it from her perspective, her point of view, but to try to put herself in that child's shoes and see how they're looking at it. Because they're not looking at it from the same lens. Although they are in the same situation, but they're not looking at it from the same lens. So to try to, you know, be empathetic with the child that's seeing their mother going through that, and maybe that can give them the strength that they need to do whatever they have to do to possibly get out of that situation. Because it's unfair to the child to have to go through that. If a mother chooses to stay, that's your choice. But I don't have a choice here. So I just have to get dragged along in this with you because I don't have a choice. And it doesn't seem like from the child's perspective, it doesn't look like you're making the best choice for me. Even though you're saying from a mother's perspective, that was staying was the best choice. But from the child's perspective, they're not seeing it like that. So I would say to be more empathetic and think about how is this affecting and impacting, you know, my child.
So I'm actually supposed to, of course, take a lead on this show because domestic violence, as far as advocating, is like for real, it is my strong suit. But hearing you talk from a child's perspective has hit some places. I'm going to be honest, like, I wasn't expecting my emotions to get hit. You know what I mean?
Right. And it's a good thing, because when God heals, he wants to heal the whole man. You know, I remember, you know, there were times when, like, my mom's boyfriend, he was Satan himself. And the things that he would do, again, would bring me right back to that question. Why do we have to go through this? Like you said, you know, the pilot being, you know, blown out. He would pour the wires out the electric box so we wouldn't have any lights. He would take all the TVs out the house so we wouldn't have any TVs. You know, he would do everything to make us uncomfortable inside of the home. And this was my mother's home, the home. And it was like, why do we have to suffer through this? Why can't you just leave him? And we were literally suffering as children. But one thing I can say, although we were suffering as children, we still had a strong support system on the other side, because there was always prayer on my father's side going through us, because it still could have been a whole lot worse. You know, he could have been physically abusing us. It could have been a whole lot worse than what it was, because this man was Satan himself. I remember one time he threw a lie on my mother. And tried to throw it in her face, but she put her hands up and it burned her arm. Like, he was Satan himself. And we had to see this: broken ribs, broken nose, bloodshot, you know, blood clot eyes. And I just always said that it was so unfair that, from a child's perspective, it looks like you're not being considered in the situation. Like, nobody is considering us. Why, you know, when I think about it now as an adult, we should have been taken out of their home, because it was just that toxic and traumatic for children to experience. To see the type of violence that we were being exposed to. And like I said, it went on for years. I didn't even know that I was a victim of domestic violence until I went to a domestic violence event a couple of years ago. And I was just going as a vendor, and I was talking to one of the ladies there, and she's like, oh, you're a survivor too. And I never even looked at it like that. She said, well, you were in it for over 20 years. You survived it. You're a domestic survivor, too. And I was like, wow, I do carry the emotional scars. I may have not gotten the physical blows, but I carry the emotional scars of domestic violence. And the children, although they're not getting the physical blows, those that are in that type of environment, they have to carry the emotional scars of it, although they're not in a domestic violent, you know, relationship one-on-one, but they're really in it. So I would just encourage, you know, the woman and the mothers, first, listen to your child. You know, if the child say from day one something wrong with him, I don't like him, or something about that man, don't sweep that under the rug. Pay close attention to that, because had my mom taken heed to that when I first said it, it would have cut 20 years out of her life of being abused, because I saw it when I first met him. Something wasn't right.
You're, when I look at, you know, domestic violence, I mean, you were saying this, like, not to be, you know, not to turn a deaf ear to to your children. I mean, I think that's really important. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, domestic violence is about, you know, the power and control. And that power and control cannot just be directly, but it can be indirectly, too, as well. And, you know, even though they may, the children may not physically go ahead and be harmed, They're watching. They're hearing. They're listening. They see all these things, and throughout the years, they can develop a lot of psychological issues and things that they go ahead and they deal with. But I would be remiss as a pastor if I did not say this, that we all know, and I just want to go ahead and just put it out here, that domestic violence is not of God. I'm going to just say that for everybody that's listening. God condemns it. He looks down on it. It's not a part of his plan when he originally created, Adam and Eve. He created us to go ahead and to love one another and to work together in harmony and to work together through our differences. But also, too, as you're talking about, as we are talking about surviving what was watched, God is also saying that, that involving children, he also condemns that. And so there's a scripture that says in Psalm 127, verse 3, it says, children are a heritage from the Lord, an offspring, a reward from him. And so what God does is he entrusts parents, entrusts us parents with children. And those parents are to be loving to them and to care for them and to protect them and to train them. And this is our, our responsibility. And what struck me was the fact that what you just said is sometimes we can be so blinded by what we're dealing with, the circumstances and situation, that we turn a deaf ear even to the littlest one. And I've just learned to just go ahead and to start, listening more, even to the young ones. We may not think that they don't know, but they know. They are watching. Their minds are like sponges. I mean, for you to go ahead and grasp and to remember everything that has happened in those events goes to show you everything that you have soaked up and have had to deal with over the years.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, Pastor, and as traumatic as it was, they were good lessons because it allowed me to see what love wasn't. It allowed me to never interpret a man hitting you as love. It allowed me to see what I in a relationship. So there were a lot of things that I saw in the relationship that I took my mom's experience and I ran with it and said, I don't have to experience that, because I saw her go through enough to know that I'm not ever going through that. So they were a good experience. I mean, as traumatic as it was, it taught me what love wasn't when it came down to a man and a woman.
Right. Amen. Amen. When we talk about this theme again, as I'm looking at it, I survived too. Surviving after watching the abuse. One thing also comes to mind, and this is just the pastor in me, because it's just who I am. I'm sorry. But it makes me think that, after you go through what you go through and you've seen what you've seen, and you may be physically safe the emotional and psychological scars, they are deep.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, going through those particular domestic violence situations, they have severe spiritual implications as well, meaning that people begin to distrust God. They say, well, why would a loving God allow this to happen? Is God really trustworthy? If God said that he loved me, then where was he? If God says that he's a present help in the time of trouble, then where was he in these situations? Where was God when I was abused? And so, going through this can sometimes go ahead and lead those. So What would be your advice or encouragement as people continue on through their spiritual, you know, their spiritual journey, those who have been affected by this?
I would say, like I said before, I did have a strong support system as far as there was a lot of prayer going up on my father's side of the family. So even though we were going through this as children, there was prayer 24/7 for my mother and for us as children. We were covered in prayer constantly, which is why they possibly could have been. So because I knew that and because we had to go to my grandmother so much to get out of the house, I was always covered in prayer, always hearing prayer, always being anointed, you know, having the anointed oil put on me before I walked out of the door, before I was sent back home. And that's what shielded me. I believe that's what caused us to still be able to see God as a loving, kind God that protected us, even though my mom was going through that. So I would say if you know of people that are going, of a woman and children that are going through that, keep praying for them, because the prayers of the righteous get results and avail much, that there is still a covering for the children in that situation and in that home. So although things may look bad, it's still not as worse as it could be if there's prayer constantly going up for the situation. And if the children are hearing the prayer going up. And also for the mother to, even though she's going through that, she's not leaving, to reaffirm your children that's not a healthy relationship. You know, don't try to sweep it under the rug as if this is normal and this is okay. Reaffirm them that mommy does not want you to ever go through this. Mommy is in a situation. She's trying to figure out how to get out of this, but you're going to be better than mom. You know, don't try to pass it off to them as if the relationship is fine, but reaffirm them that they're going to have something better, that they're going to have a man that loves them, that, you know, that and speak to your sons as well, but to talk to still speak life in them even while you're going through that situation. Because those words will stay with them as well, as far as what, along with what they are seeing, what you are saying will also carry them through and stick with them.
Amen. So I have two questions for you, and hopefully they're back-to-back, and this will probably be, because I'm probably asking too much. But
no, you're fine. You're fine.
So everything that you just talked about,
mm-hmm.
There's two things that I want you to touch on. Number one is healing. How does someone heal from this? The second, forgiveness. Can you ever forgive the person that did these things? How can they go ahead and do that? I mean, I believe part of the healing, you know, you have to forgive at some point. But walk us through that. Talk with us about that, the healing and forgiveness part.
Ironically, my mother was a very, very, very forgiving person. She's a very forgiving person. I watched her years later take care of this man while he died, as he was dying. Nobody was there for him but her. And I'm like, Mom, how in the world? I would have been slapping him. You know, I'm like, Mom, how could you do this? But she had forgiven him for the years of pain that he had put her through. Because that her forgiving people that hurt her was the thing that kept her blessed. Her forgiving the people that violated her, I watched her forgive people that had done her dirty, but it was the very thing that always kept her blessing right with God. So she walked in forgiveness, even though she saw people, you know, she experienced those type of situations. I was able to forgive him because as I got older, I learned his story, and he was abused as a child. So he was playing out what he was taught. When he was a child, his mother would beat him. His grandmother would beat him really bad, and then she would buy him bikes, buy him toys, and then beat him and buy him stuff. So that's how he treated his woman. He would beat them and then buy them really nice gifts because that's what he was taught. So as I saw him as a broken child that needed help. And since he never got the help that he needed, he was a hurt person that repeated the cycle of hurting people. And then there was a hatred in his grandmother for her beating him, which caused him to have a hatred towards all women. So when you get older and you start to understand people, it makes it easier for you, especially as a believer, to forgive them because you see what they were operating in, which was hurt and pain. And it helps when you know the abuser's story and it's like, wow, I get it. Even though I don't accept, you know, even though I'm not saying it was okay, but I get it and I understand. And I felt really bad for him. Like he never got the help that he needed as a child. He was just repeating what happened to him by a woman. So I would say, you know, try to understand their story. And then ask God, you know, to show you and to so that you can be more compassionate towards that person, even though that was your abuser, and that will allow you to be able to forgive them for what they've done, and to know that that forgiveness is what blesses you. Like I said, my mother has always been blessed because of how she was able to forgive people that did her wrong.
It's amazing when you said that. The first thing that I thought of was when they were putting the nails in Jesus' hands and putting nails in his feet, and mm-hmm. as the Roman soldiers were lifting him up, he was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm.
you
know." It made me mm-hmm. think of that. Because Jesus is, as much as he was dealing with what he was dealing with, you know, he still found it in his heart to ask God for mercy and compassion. It made me think of what you were saying with what your mother was dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
It is 9:48, and it is time for us to do the call to salvation. I had spoke with Phaedra earlier, and I knew that this topic was going to be touchy. So I asked you if you would do the call to salvation on tonight for us.
Mm-hmm. So if there's anyone out there that would like to give their life to the Lord, that would like to make Jesus the Lord of their life, he's available. You know, healing is available. Forgiveness is available. The things that we talked about, peace is available. All of those things are available in Christ Jesus. So if there is someone that would like to give their life to the Lord, the time is now. We see what's going on in the world. Answer the call of salvation today. And it's very simple. All you have to do is repeat after me and just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that you are a sinner. Ask God to come into your life and be Lord over your life. And to just let him know that you do believe that Jesus died on a cross for your sins and rose on a third day. And just invite him into your life to be Lord over your life. And it's just that simple. And if you have done those things, I welcome you into the kingdom of God. And I just invite you you know, I encourage you to find a Bible-believing church, and I believe that, Pastor, would you guys give that information to your church? I don't know how, you know, how that's done, but to find a Bible-believing church so that you can learn the things of God. And just know that that same forgiveness, that same peace, that same healing that I went through, that my mother went through, is available to you in Christ Jesus.
God, we thank you for that. One, two, three, those souls that we believe that came unto you after hearing the call to salvation and after hearing the testimony of Sister Phaedra Anderson. God, we thank you so much for just the encouragement on tonight and the healing that will continue to take place. God, we thank you, and we ask that you would bless her, that you would open up more doors for her, God, in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the glory and the honor and give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Toy, it is now in your hands.
Sister Alicia, can I say one thing?
Yes, because I have to figure out what Pastor Toy is.
Oh, can I say one thing? I just wanted to say, and to the mothers, if you are a mother out there, a grandmother out there, and it may have been years ago that you went through this, or even currently, it may do some good to sit down with your child, even if they're an adult, and say, I'm sorry, to just acknowledge that. You know, because you may have, it may have been in your younger years and you was trying to figure out how to be a mom, you know, and how to do this. And but now it may do some good to just sit that child down or to give them a call and say, baby, I just wanted to say sorry for what I put you through. And that may even even heal them in areas that they didn't even know that they needed to be healed. So I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Amen. What?
Amen.
Hello?
Yes, we are here. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good, good, good. First, I want to apologize for some of the technical difficulties that we are experiencing tonight. But praise God that the word went forth, that encouragement went forth, that healing has gone forth. We first want to thank and bless God for Sister Phaedra Anderson for her willingness to come forth and be transparent and share her testimony and her story and to talk about healing. Because the one thing we know the word of God says is that we overcome by the testimony of others. Amen. So we just thank and bless God for her testimony this evening. We thank and bless God for Elder Alicia Cooper and for Reverend Dr. Christmas for bringing this topic up into the forefront during this Abuse Awareness Month. Amen. By faith, we want to encourage whoever out there gave their life to Christ to find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But until then, bless God, that is why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here for you. Please join us tomorrow evening. Tomorrow evening, we will be broadcasting with another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. We will be broadcasting tomorrow night at 8 p.m. with Minister Bernard Morrow and his ministry, By Faith We Good. You do not want to miss this anointed man of God. Also, on the 31st, on this Sunday, the 31st, most people refer to it as Halloween, at 8 p.m., Purpose Kingdom Network will be doing a special ministry. We will be broadcasting live from Judah Ministry Church, which is located at 840 East Chestnut Street in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, where the pastor is Elder Montez O. Jones and the apostle is Apostle Kenyon Portet. We invite you, if you're in the Coatesville area, to join us there at 8 p.m. as well as for Sunday morning worship service. We will be broadcasting What Does the Bible Say About Halloween and Should Christians Even Celebrate It? Amen. So again, if you're free on Sunday at 8 p.m., join in with us via Blog Talk, www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom, or you can join in with us live as we do our live recording. Know that we love you all with the love of Christ. We thank and bless God for each and every one of you. And Elder and Doc, the ministry is back in your hands.
Phaedra, thank you again for accepting our invitation for today. It's funny because I literally was about to say to you, when I get both of my boys in the same room, while they may have been young, I want to have a conversation with them and apologize to them for putting them in that type of situation. They say when you know better, you do better. And listening to you speak from from the child perspective opened my eyes to some things, and I definitely want to make sure that I, you know, get it right. We have a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Hello.
Hello. Hello, are you there?
Hello.
Yes, how are you?
Hi, good evening. How you doing? I actually came in like probably like 10 minutes after y'all started. But I can relate because I have a sister who's currently still in that situation. She got out of it, and the guy was arrested. He, you know, served some months in jail, which he could have served more time, but by her not going to court, you know, he didn't serve the amount of time that he should have. And she brought him back into her home. And since he's been home, her children had to fight him and stuff like that. And, you know, I just fear so much for my nieces and nephews. And, you know, so I just ask that you just keep my sister and her children in prayer. You know, that one day she will just be like, I had enough. You know, and I'm hoping it's not too late.
Mm-hmm. Adrian, would you like to say something to her?
Yeah, we will. I would say, you know, it's something that person has to, like you said, they have to get to that point where they say enough. But just keep your faith and just keep covering the children in prayer. Keep speaking life into them. And allow them to, because one thing my family did, I heard what was being prayed over my life. So I heard the prayer of protection. I heard the blood being, you know, them pleading the blood. I heard them, you know, casting the enemy out of our home. Like, allow them to hear what's being prayed. As well, because then they will be able to know that God is still fighting on their behalf, and God hasn't forgotten about them, and God hasn't left them in a situation for dead. So I would say, keep praying, and also keep speaking life into her, affirming her, because to this day, I still have to affirm my mother. I still have to build her up as a woman.
We don't speak for personal reasons, but I still, you know, like they were speaking on being forgiven. You know, it took me some time to forgive her for the things that she did, but I still love my sister. I love my nieces, my nephews, you know, and I don't want to see nothing happen to her.
From the abuser or the abused side, I want to submit to you to definitely continue to pray for her.
Mm-hmm.
But when she comes to her breaking point, be there for her. I know it's probably going, they say it takes at least 7 times for someone to finally leave if they make it to that. But I want to say to you,
mm-hmm.
always be there. Just be there. Sometimes that's all we need is somebody to be there.
Mm-hmm.
As Phaedra said, continue to pray. Cover them all in prayer, because we know that God can deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Toy?
Yes, I'm here. Before our caller hangs up, we want to have just a word of prayer for her sister and the situation and her children. So let us have a quick word of prayer. Father God, first and foremost, we come blessing and praising your holy name. We say hallelujah unto you, Father God, which is the highest praise. For we know you are still the Alpha and the Omega. You are still the beginning and the end of all things. For those who accept you as well as for those who do not, you are the almighty living God. We know that you are omnipresent, Father God. So even now, Father, we know you are in that home. We know you are in that situation. We ask right now that you will place a hedge of protection around her sister as well as around her children, Father God. We ask that you will keep them from all hurt, harm, and danger, Father God. We ask that you will touch the mother's mind, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you will bring her comfort and peace. But most of all, Father, we ask that you will bring her the strength and courage to come out of that situation in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over that entire household, Father, from the ceiling to the foundation, Father God, from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet, Father. Allow the healing power of the blood of Jesus to begin even now as we pray to fall upon them in the mighty name of Jesus, God. The next time we shall hear a victorious testimony report of how good you have been unto them, Father God. It is in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
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 Oh, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, we want to thank everyone for listening in on the Healing Hour on today. Again, I am your host, Elder Elisha Cooper, with our co-host, Dr. William Christmas, and we will see you again in 2 weeks, where we will talk about wellness and fitness with Harry Washington Jr. and Antoine Stroman. Until then, blessings and favor be upon you. Amen. Peace.
Jesus lives. He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose. Never wanna see me down, I will not lose. He saved me.